gentlemen, the Down to Dirt Podcast. It is April 2nd. We appreciate you listening wherever you are. I want to remind you every week to check us out on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Look for us online. Search downthedunk.com. You can also find us on iTunes. Search Down the Dunk. We appreciate you listening to this podcast about NBA and other random whatnots. It is Jay, Andrew, and Taylor today. Luke is out with a little bit of a cold this morning.
Gentlemen, flu-like symptoms. Flu-like. I'm calling it flu-like symptoms.
Yeah. How are y'all doing?
I'm so glad that April Fool's Day is over. Now I can believe everyone again.
April Fool's Day, I get really nervous about it because I'm like, man, people are going to get me all day. So what I do is I just try to like just force so many April Fool's jokes on everyone I know so that like, I don't know, like I can get the first April Fool's joke out and it's fine.
Yet.
They don't work.
Comma. You still got got by Michael Wilbon last night.
That was really good. So I was watching, pardon the interruption, and they started off with, they said, well, here's our first slide about, I don't know, some football or something. And they said, but actually, we're going to need to talk about this breaking news. Larry Bird came out in a conference today and said he has reassigned head coach Frank Vogel to assistant coach, and Larry Bird is now coaching. He feels it's his responsibility to take over this team. They've been underperforming, and it's his responsibility to lead them through the playoffs and all that stuff. And they were talking about, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Andrew and Jay haven't texted me about this, or I can't believe I haven't seen a tweet about this or anything like that. And then they said April Fools, and they got me good.
You know how many Pacers fans are probably like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was like hilarious to the world, except to Indiana.
Yeah, exactly. The Thunder, middle of a little stretch, they've not played very good teams, but they've gone 6-7 over the last seven games, and the only losses that overtime loss were Russell sat out basically all of overtime, and so the Thunder playing a little bit better, and what I've seen is they're looking like they've engaged defensively a little bit more, but sometimes terrible teams help you feel that way as well. But they got a big stretch coming up. They play Thursday, I think it's Thursday, or is it? Yeah, Thursday, at home versus San Diego. The San Diego Spurs.
San Diego.
Weird.
San Diego.
Their brand name. So they play at home Thursday against San Antonio Spurs. And then they go to Houston on Friday, play an 8:30 game. And then they come back on Sunday. Actually, they go on Sunday night to play Phoenix. And then at Sacramento, then at L.A. Clippers, and then I think they're home for the Pelicans, at the Pacers, at the Pelicans, and then they end the season against the Pistons. And so a lot of away games as they finish this season up. But, you know, I feel like if they can get on a roll this Thursday and Friday, and I think they have a good chance. San Antonio's coming on a back-to-back after playing the Warriors. So there's a chance somebody's going to sit on that team. Plus the Thunder are going to be up for that game, going to be jacked to play. There's rumors circulating that Perkins may be back this weekend. And then I've also heard possible rumors that, what was it? Somebody just said yesterday, but it was Jim Traver, so I'm assuming it was just pulled out of thin air. But somebody for the Rockets, either way. Maybe Dwight Howard might be out on Friday. I'm not sure. Have y'all heard anything about that?
Yeah, Dwight. I think Dwight's out.
He's been out. I think he's out for the next week or so.
Yeah. Him and Patrick,
Beverly's out
Patrick
too.
Beverly.
But it's a big deal for the Rockets.
Yeah. So I don't understand. So he's just not having surgery and he could come back this season, but it's torn. So I don't understand how that
works.
Yeah.
I mean, guys have done this a lot in the NBA and college basketball. Like Dwayne Wade did it.
Blake Griffin did it in college.
Yeah. I mean, guys, if you tear your meniscus, you can have surgery, which will help you in the long run, but you're going to be out for a while. Or you can just not have it repaired, and you'll be fine after a few weeks.
And there's also different kind of tears, like where it tears, how it tears, and all those things. I remember, you know, because it was that fool's hope that we had last year when Russ did him. Maybe it was just this kind of tear, and he'll be able to come back in 2 weeks. But I remember what it was that somebody, Traver said that he heard the rumor that Scott Brooks was, they were moving away from the resting Russ on back-to-backs now. And so there's a chance he could play both games on Friday and Saturday, and then they have another back-to-back next week as well. And so that's what he said that he heard, is that they may be moving away from those back-to-back rests. So we'll see. I think they have a chance without Russ to beat the Rockets, obviously depending on Reggie Jackson's health. He's been out for the past two games, but I'm thinking that was more just rest from what I've heard.
That people have called it a phantom injury.
Yeah, it's the old Popovich style. And so you just got to say that it's something now so you don't get like a $5 million fine.
Which is weird because he's one of the younger players. Like, why him? I don't know.
Which leads you to one of the most surprising things. Actually, I'll just say this for my Say What Stat of the Week. Never mind. Moving on. Hey, guess what it's time for, guys?
Twitter say questions. What stat of the
no,
week?
No, man. Oh, sorry. You forget. I'm sorry.
Pour one out.
It's time for Twitter questions. This is from random questions that we've compiled from you, the listener, and you, the tweeter friend. And
the tweeter friend.
The tweeter friend. And so we're going to run through some of these, and then we have some questions that we've added on our own that we'll do at the end. The first question comes from at Bobby Wheat. And Bobby, we appreciate you probably not listening, probably just tweeting insanity at us, but he sent us five different questions that are a variation of the same question. So I'll read one of them. Considering the joke that is the NBA East, can we just declare the winner of the West playoff the champ? So that's first one. Next one. Which has better odds, Heat versus East or beating Contra with the Game Genie?
Mm.
Better odds, Heat versus East or Mac versus Glass Joe, little Mike Tyson's punch out. Better odds, Heat versus East or Mario versus the World? One.
World 1-1.
Oh, okay, World 1-1. Ooh. And then the last one is better odds, Heat versus the East or Kevin versus the Wet Bandits? That goes to Jamie Wheat, so I have no idea. Oh, Home Alone.
Home Alone, yeah.
Oh. Alone.
So the question is, with Indiana just falling apart, you look at the East, and I think the question we can ask are a few things. You still think the Pacers are the best challenge to the Heat in the East? And do they get taken, let's say, six games? Is there a team that will take them to six games? Not even to ask the question, is there a team that could beat them? I don't think anybody right now could beat them. Although the Pacers have, even in this little slow run, but I'm still picking the Heat to win all the East. So what do you guys think?
I think that it's really hard to forecast the playoffs at the end of the season like this and take everything we're seeing now and then applying it to the playoffs has really been proven to be a really terrible way to forecast the playoffs in the past. So I do think that the Heat are the best team in the East, but I do think that the Pacers can take them to seven again. I mean, it's not like the Pacers were awesome in the regular season last year and then, you know, blew through the playoffs to get to the Heat, and then everyone thought they could beat them. I mean, it wasn't like that at all. You know, Atlanta took Indiana to six games last year, and New York took them to six games last year, and then no one really thought that the Pacers had a chance against the Heat last year, and they took them to seven. And I think that the Pacers are better than they were last year. Lance Stevenson's a lot better. Their bench is a little bit better from last year. So I think that as long as Indiana gets there, and you know, with the way that they've been playing, I don't know if they can, but if they can get there, I think they can beat the Heat. I do.
They've still got the best shot at anybody in the East.
They just match up with them so, you know, better than anybody in the league, probably.
Sure.
Because they have that brute strength down low, and Roy Hibbert just kills them. And they're not afraid either. They're not afraid of this Miami team.
Yeah, and so I believe they've lost six of their last seven, and their one win was against the Heat, which is the best team that they've played in these last seven games.
Except for the Spurs.
Oh, yeah, except for the Spurs, who are on a roll. But
and just embarrassed them. It was like a 30-point game at some point in the
It was really bad, and they haven't been able to go over 90 points
in the fourth. But then they just blew the doors off them and beat them by 26 or whatever it was.
But my point is, it is just matchups with the Pacers. For some reason, they just match up so well against the Heat that the Heat really struggle against them. So, yeah. So yes, I think that is still the. I mean, who else would it be? Yeah. No one else.
There's two teams that I just think give the Heat just a little bit of trouble. Not a series. I think maybe they can get them to six, and it just depends on how good you think the Pacers. I think Brooklyn's not bad. They've been the best team in the East since the new year. They've won 14 in a row at home. They figured the small ball lineup that works really well for them, which will be a good thing for versus the Heat. And they have, like, as much as they are old and sometimes have been terrible this season, they have good players still.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce and Deron Williams and Kevin Garnett and Andre Blatch has been pretty good this year. And
Sean Livingston has been really good for them. And,
they have some point guard, some Gutierrez guy that plays for him. I've never even knew he was in the NBA, but they've got some good pieces in there. And they, I think they'd just be one of those teams. They're gritty enough, and they have enough veterans on their team that they're going to be pretty dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they'll be a playoff team. You know, they have all this veteran leadership, and they have these guys like Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce who are so old that you don't really see them throughout the regular season. But when it gets to playoffs, they're going to give you everything that they have left, especially Kevin Garnett. Yeah. So I think that you'll definitely see that
in
the playoffs.
Is Garnett even playing right now, though?
No, he's not playing right now.
Which I'm assuming it's four to get him ready for the playoffs, right?
Is it, though?
Yeah, it's not a big deal. I know the injury was not a big deal. I think they're just...
Hold on, we're looking... Oh, it's a torn ACL, so...
He's been playing on two torn ACLs for 10 years.
So now, I will say somebody I wish would be more useful in the East is Toronto. Like, I feel like they're on the verge of being good, and they will be. They're working on next year and the year after that, but they have pieces, and sometimes the season they look really good, but then they just can't.
They can make some noise.
They've lost to the Heat like 20 straight times is what I read.
They couldn't. If they get matched up against the Heat, they are not going to win. Yeah, but I think they could win a first round series.
So the other question
they'll have,
yeah, they could.
Yeah. So the follow up, and I'm going to look at the playoff rankings as we're kind of here, but the follow up to that is the Knicks, the surging Knicks, and the absolute decimation of the Atlanta Hawks has put the Knicks about a game out of the playoffs. You guys think the Knicks make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Hawks look so bad.
What's happening with them?
Spiraling. They've been spiraling out of control ever since Paul Millsap went out, and then he came back, and they just can't. They can't figure it out. I don't know what it is.
I don't think that they honestly care that much about making the playoffs. I think they'd rather have a lottery pick.
For the Knicks, it's everything to make them.
The Knicks have no pick.
Right.
Carmelo could leave. I mean, I don't know. Tyson Chandler has looked really nice for them.
He looks nice.
He's a nice-looking man.
So here's if the playoffs started today, which I don't know how much of this they'll actually move around. Miami and Indiana are tied atop the East, but Miami has the advantage for some reason. So Miami's won. So right now it'd be Miami. And if New York makes the playoffs, it'd be Miami-New York in the first round. So that'd be fun.
Sweep town.
Games.
Sweep city.
Maybe five.
Yeah. Maybe J.R. Smith hits 9 3-pointers and it goes five games.
The 2-7 would be Charlotte, Indiana. That is...
Gosh, that is the worst thing ever.
Terrible.
They would score 80 a night.
The third...
Combined.
The three...
Charlotte would win that.
The 3-6 would be Toronto, Washington.
That would be a fun series.
Toronto may be in trouble, though, in that one.
That would be... I think that would be a lot closer than...
Yeah,
it seems.
I have no idea who'd win that. That'd be
the Zards. How about the Zards having a winning record in making the playoffs?
He's been out like 20, 30 games this season. I think he's supposed to be back for
that'd
playoffs.
That'd be a big deal, too.
They're so much better with him.
That maybe they make it to the second round.
Yeah.
And then the 4-5 would be a blast. Chicago, Brooklyn.
Oh,
yay.
You know who I hate watching play basketball? Chicago.
Really?
They're,
I don't mind them.
I like good defense, but I need to see some kind of offense.
Yeah.
And Joakim Noah is the only thing exciting about that team, really.
Yeah, and DJ Augustine.
And DJ Augustine.
And Mike Dunleavy, Jr.
Yeah.
Definitely not Mike Dunleavy.
And Mike Thibodeau.
And Taj when he dunks it twice in a game. I like those.
Yeah. Taj Gibson's got a good post game.
He does have a good post. I actually like Taj Gibson.
So you just lied to us.
No, but I don't like to watch him play enough to where I like the Bulls.
All right,
you know the Thunder basically traded Taj Gibson for Tabas Efolosha?
Well, that's okay. Actually, I don't mind that. Taj was like okay for 2 years.
Hey, Tabas proven his worth right now with how bad we are on the defensive end perimeter-wise.
But we got a lot out of him the years before.
He was really good last year. Anyway, hey.
Stop, Jay.
We're going to have Tabo on next week to discuss his value for the Thunder.
Tabo Sovelojo.
Tabo Sovelojo. Viva Suiza. This next question is from @D_Tally. In 2012 season, Spurs went 24-3 in their last 27 games, and OKC went 16-11 in their last 27. Do we need to settle down about the Spurs?
Yeah, if you're all worked up, get settled down.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, they're going to make it to the Western Conference Finals, I think.
Yeah, because the Thunder are going to have to play the Clippers.
The Thunder match up really well with the Spurs and have, you know, killed them since they beat them in the Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago. And, you know, people are making a big deal about the one seed, but the one seed hasn't mattered in a long time in the Western Conference. You know, I don't remember the last time that the one seed got to the finals. So it doesn't, that doesn't determine anything. You know, the Thunder can win games on the road. And this year we have a better Kevin Durant, a better, you know, Serge Ibaka going into the playoffs. So
better us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very cautious with anything that I say about Russell Westbrook at this point. Sorry, guys. He's not playing back-to-backs. Right. Like, until he starts playing, you know, consecutive games really well.
Sure.
I really don't want to say that he's
But when he's playing, he's good.
Better. Oh, he's great. I love him.
Mm. They have Steven Adams as a backup.
They got Caron Butler, your favorite player in the world.
Hey, Caron has been stroking it the last
few
days.
He hit five threes.
He's shooting at five.
Once again, my issue is more just
no, don't no. do this.
don't my do this issue is not as much Caron Butler. Like, it's not. I understand the point of playing him. So,
what were we talking about?
We were just talking about the fact that the Spurs are flying through the regular.
And they do
18
this
straight wins
every single year at the end of the year. It's the same story. Throughout in the middle of the year, we're like, oh, I don't know. I think the Spurs are finally getting old. And then it gets to the end of the year, and they're like, oh, holy crap, they're going on this run, or they're just killing teams into the going into the playoffs, and they're going to run through the first two rounds like nothing. And then it's the same story.
Yep.
Thunder will beat them. They can't handle that.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, you can't take this part of the regular season and just apply it straight to the playoffs, because the game changes a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Celtics ran through the regular season in 2008, and then they got to the first round of the playoffs against the Hawks, and everyone thought that they would just kill them. The Hawks were inexperienced. They're young. There's no way they can win. The Hawks took them to seven.
Who's the starting point guard on that Hawks team? Heinrich?
No.
He was their backup?
This was before Heinrich.
Was it really?
Mookie Blaylock?
Mookie. No, I don't remember. Speedy Claxton? I don't know.
Was it really?
I don't think so. I have no idea. That's a weird question to ask.
I don't know why I thought of that immediately. I was like, okay, Joe Johnson.
I don't remember the rosters of everybody all the time.
Let me find out.
Sorry.
2007-2008 Atlanta Hawks starting point guard. you can move on.
What you also find out, though, and I heard this also with Jim Trevor. Why did I listen to them?
I think it was Mike Bibby. That's my prediction before I look it up.
Ooh, that's a good call. The fact that if they win, ding, ding, ding.
It was Mike Bibby.
Nice.
If they win on Thursday and Friday versus the Spurs and the Rockets, they will have swept the Thunder, both the Spurs and the Rockets.
This season?
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
If they beat the Spurs and the Rockets and then go to L.A., which will be difficult, and beat the Clippers, they would just have split with them.
Yeah.
Is that the next three in a row? Spurs,
no, they've got like one crappy game. No, they have Phoenix in between that. Phoenix again, which is not a crappy game.
No,
that's a terribly hard
game.
They're
fighting for their playoff lives.
And they have Bledsoe back, which is great. So, anyway, I don't put much stock in the regular season, which is great because neither really do the Spurs, even though they just continue to win. So. Next question from Heath W. Black. When Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook leave us to form a super group in L.A., will we boo them or cheer for them?
Stop, Heath.
That's not you.
Next question. Next question.
Boo.
Tell me why a person would go to the Lakers right now, other than the fact that they're the Lakers. The team is the Knicks of the West right now. They have no future.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got money, they'll have a good draft pick.
I mean, you got Swaggy P, you got a chance.
Dude had 21 the first half last night.
He had like, yeah, he was just killing.
I mean, this Lakers team has changed a lot. I mean, this isn't the same team with Jerry Buss and Phil Jackson trying to get people to come to their team. You know, you have Mike D'Antoni and Jim Buss, they're much different people than those two guys. And they were able to lure a lot of stars and a lot of people to come to that team before. And, you know, Dwight Howard wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Like that shows me that this is a different Lakers era. Like, before, if Phil and Jim Buss were, or Jerry Buss were there. I don't think Dwight leaves. I don't. And so this is a different era of the Lakers. I do think that they can recover and still be a good team, but I don't. I mean, I know that he's just joking, but I could see Russ leaving. I don't really. I see Kevin staying in Oklahoma City.
I don't probably see. We've talked about this before. I don't see the.
As long as they're good, yeah, as long as they're a title contender, I don't see either one of them leaving.
At that point, they may have won one or two championships and are contenders every single year. Yeah. And you've developed Steven Adams into a legitimate starting center, and you've like.
Yeah, and it's like, what's a better option?
Yeah, where would you go to have a team that could compete this regularly? Anyway.
And I know that he probably didn't want us to get off on this little tangent, but I, you know, I can't even predict who's going to be the 7th and 8th seeds in the West here in a couple weeks. Like, how are we supposed to really predict what's going to happen in several years?
Now, if they got booed or if they got cheered, I think that people would just weep.
Everyone would just cry if they saw them like, in a different uniform.
Kevin Durant. And we just all, you just hear sobbing throughout the stadium.
I think they would boo. Like, I'd be pissed off Cleveland fans.
It depends how it went down.
There would be videos of burnt jerseys.
I don't know how we would handle it because this is our first pro team in anything. This is our first superstar in the city, right? That the whole state has really taken, and he's become such a huge part of the
community.
Except for
Brian Bosworth. You forget about Brian Bosworth?
Yeah. He didn't play here, though.
Do you remember him?
The football player?
The Boz. I mean, he was pretty
Raiders,
much
right?
Kevin Durant in the 80s.
Oakland Raiders?
No, he played for the Seahawks, but that was a joke. He's terrible. He was not that way.
The Boz? He played at OU.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know how the city would handle that. It would be devastating to this team. I mean, devastating.
Let's move on.
This state,
I don't want to think about this.
Our economy. Would crash. We'd become District 12.
We would.
From the Hunger Games.
Next question from our guy, at Steven_Gertz. Is Kevin Durant an underrated defender?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he is. I think that it takes a while for somebody's defensive reputation to be built up. And it's probably about a season behind, just kind of like something like the All-Star bids or a season behind. I think that this time next season, people will be talking about what a great defender Kevin Durant is, even though he's there right now. So, you know, things like that, it's hard to build a defensive reputation, you know, whenever you've been not so good for the first half of your career. So,
agreed. Taylor?
Agreed.
Hey, let me also say this. How much of the conversation should Serge Ibaka be for the Defensive Player of the Year?
I think that he should definitely be in the top three.
Hibbert?
I just don't know. I mean, Hibbert belongs there.
It's getting harder for stats to back up Hibbert at this point. Even advanced stats have kind of fallen from the start.
Who's the
from
Defensive
the first
Player of the Year right now?
I have no idea.
Joakim Noah is probably the guy
probably.
For me.
But there's not that like clear
Why wouldn't
Defensive
Serge?
Player of the Year again.
He impacts the game on so many
again,
levels.
Again, it's a reputation thing. You know, Defensive Player of the Year is such a rep thing.
Yeah.
If you have a guy, if you have like a big media guy backing you, then I think that he could get it. Like if somebody was out there saying like Serge Ibaka really needs, like I think the biggest name out there that's saying Serge Ibaka should be the Defensive Player of the Year is Matt Moore. Yeah. And that's just, I mean, Matt Moore's great.
If Zach Lowe wrote a piece about Serge Ibaka and gave all these advanced stats, he would be defensive.
If Zach Lowe would just say it or just tweet out that Serge Ibaka should be the Defensive Player of the Year, I think he would be.
Because he would get all these other smaller bloggers that look up to him to say, Serge, and then everyone.
Plus, it's just opening up, because the deal with Serge is you don't see, he's still not a terrific on-ball defender. He's been way better this year.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah.
But the way he impacts the game at the rim is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's one of the best in the league for sure. And they're fifth in defensive rating as a team, and I think that he is a huge part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let me just follow up with, since we talked a little bit about Roy Hibbert from at Cheeto Finley. Kwame Brown, 2003 to 2004, who we called him a bust. This is from NBA Talk Joe, the quote. Had 10.9 points, 7.4 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, and shot 48.9% from the field. Roy Hibbert, 2013-2014 All-Star, 11.1 points, 6.9 rebounds, 1.2 blocks, 45% field goal. Isn't that kind of crazy?
It's kind of crazy, but it's all about context here.
Sure.
I mean, Kwame Brown had the opportunity to do a lot more than Roy Hibbert does on the offensive end, and still he could only get 10 points. I mean, Kwame Brown, also his attitude on the court, what he brought to a team is nothing close to what Roy Hibbert brings to a team. So, I mean, it's fun. It's funny to look at the stats and to think those things, but you have to look at context and what these teams are doing. You know, what was Kwame Brown doing in with the Wizards in 2003, 2004? I mean, they were not a very good team.
But are those Hibbert's numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Those are not very good.
No, they're not. But he impacts the game on the defensive end in ways that you can't see here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but that's not very good. And 45.5% field goal for a center?
Yeah.
Because that means he takes a lot of jump shots, in my mind.
And 6-point-something rebounds?
I don't watch Hibbert enough to see what he does. Sorry, Roy. But he is on Parks and Rec often, and so
sometimes, sometimes he does not do anything, though. That's what's frustrating about Hibbert is there are some games where he doesn't even need to be in the game. It doesn't even matter if he's in the game.
They're not exactly going to him all the time, are they, though?
Yeah, there's too many guards. It's not Shaq where it's feed the ball to the post 50 times a game.
Yeah.
And David West is a better offensive threat anyway.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Next question. This is from Ashwin Venkat, who's one of our more popular tweeps.
He's so popular.
Well, he just, you know, we talk a lot.
He has a lot of friends.
And he always comments. I guess all the people that probably ask questions are that way for us. So.
Yeah.
You are a popular tweep.
Would you rather the Thunder go full on for the top seed or settle for second seed and rest players ahead of the playoffs?
I think get this team rest before the playoffs would be better. I don't see any reason to. I don't even know if they can catch the Spurs, first of all. And then, you know, it's better to have a healthy team going into the playoffs than it is anything else, I think.
Yes. And I think that we couldn't even catch the first seed at this point if we wanted to. Any. What are Spurs, 3-4 games ahead?
I think they're 3 games. It could foreseeably happen.
If the Thunder won on Thursday, they cut it by a full game.
Right. And then the Spurs start resting guys early, which they're going to.
Yeah, and they've got some games they play that are going to be cut.
I guess it doesn't really matter because we're going to have a better record than the Heat and the Pacers in the end, most likely, so that's all that really matters. Unless, if we play the Spurs in Western Conference Finals, it wouldn't make a big difference how the series went if we were home or they were.
If you believe Hollinger's playoff odds, the Thunder will finish the season 5-4. They have 9 games left, and they'll win 5 of them, they'll lose 4 of them.
Really?
That's what it says. Isn't that stupid?
Stats, man.
Stats, man.
It's all about stats.
Let's talk about stats, man.
What's sad is how often those projections are really close.
Yeah.
Even like the... Anyway, never mind.
Well, and the Thunder weren't playing very well in a lot of those, but they still have a 6.6% chance to win the championship.
And they only have 3 more home games.
I know.
That's it.
The Pistons, the Pelicans, and the the Spurs. Isn't that it?
Yep.
6 away games.
Oh, no.
I think that's why.
At the Pelicans, at the Clippers, at the Suns, at the Rockets. The Clippers. Jeez Louise. All right. Last of our Twitter questions here. It comes from @RyanWoods_. How does Durant's MVP affect his decision to stay in Oklahoma City at all? Let me ask a question. Has there been an article written this week about the Thunder guys leaving?
I don't know.
No, but the rest of the, like, we don't talk about it here, but everyone else talks about it. It's just like how everyone talks about, oh man, if LeBron, when LeBron was on Cleveland and even in Miami, you know, everyone's like, well, what if LeBron could do that? They talk about that more in the media, but I think like the smaller, I don't know, the smaller pockets of NBA fans in different states and different parts of the world talk about it a lot more than we do here, for sure.
Well, and the national media talks about it, too, just because they're a 24-hour news cycle and they need something to talk about sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And also because Oklahoma City as a city has such a negative feel to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like why would
Oklahoma
you want to
city,
stay
all
there?
They have is
right
dirt and planes and... I mean, not like airplanes, though, like planes. Like
for a
planes.
Second, I thought you said Dirk, and I thought, Dirk's yeah, coming here?
Yeah, I don't think that it, I honestly don't think that impacts it at all. I mean, you've seen players win MVPs and leave their teams before. And you've also seen guys, you know, win MVPs and stay for their entire career. So, I mean, it's just, it's all very dependent on the guy and who he is and what he wants to do. And, you know, Tim Duncan wanted to stay in San Antonio forever. LeBron James wanted to move on. And I honestly also think it depends on what the team's doing at the time, too, more than it does winning an MVP today. So I think if the team is still a title contender, there's absolutely no reason to leave to go to a team that's not a title contender. So that's all.
You got anything to say about that?
No.
I mean, unless Oklahoma City just really botches, you know, contract negotiations with him. I mean, that has led guys to leave before in the past. That's why Shaq left Orlando, because they were so terrible about negotiating his new contract. So,
which Sam Presti showed up on his door at 12:01.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think with Kevin Durant,
Presti's not going to screw up negotiations with his top two guys. And people are going to bring up, no, what about James Harden? Well, you know, James Harden was going to be the best paid sixth man in the history of the game.
Yeah.
So, like, and we also didn't know James Harden was as good as he is. So we can't really bring that up. I think that he is going to show up and he's going to give Kevin Durant a max offer immediately. So I don't think that, I think that he stays.
Well, and obviously obviously James Harden wasn't as big for this team as everyone else is saying he was. You know, like, he leaves and then we're kind of, I mean, last year we struggled, but if Russ doesn't go out, do we struggle that much?
Oh, yeah. In the playoffs, we struggle in the regular season. They had a better winning percentage.
Yeah, we're still a title contender. We didn't drop off, so it wasn't really worth the money to spend on him in the long run. Steven Adams, Jeremy Lamb, blah, blah, blah.
All right. I'm over this. Just not over that conversation, but it's just, I don't know. See it when it happens.
It's
also 2016 is when.
And I don't foresee that happening. Unless things went really south, I don't foresee.
And who knows what happens in the next few years, but no.
So here's a fun question that I want to add on top of that. And this is from SVP and Rosillo yesterday on ESPN Radio. I'm realizing right now I listen to a lot of sports radio, but I listening yesterday.
Oh, why are you listening?
And they had this question, and I thought it was intriguing. And for the first time, they felt like this question actually comes with a legitimate debate. So every year, in the NCAA, either football or basketball, there's one or two teams that are really good. And so you look at them, and then you look at the worst team in the professional level, and you say, could that team beat that team? You know, like this year, could the Kentucky Wildcats, who are in the Final Four, who have the most NBA-ready players, beat the Philadelphia 76ers? Or could the Philadelphia – or the question, maybe reframing it by saying – could the 76ers win the NCAA championship this year? What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I think that I think you need to have chemistry to win the NCAA tournament. I don't know that they have any.
Well, and the other thing that, so there's kind of the back and back was the points where SVP just was like, dude, they're pros. Like, everybody on it. And Rosillo said, for any other team, I would agree with you on that. But this Sixers team has players that aren't really NBA pros.
Yeah, a lot of them wouldn't have a chance to
D-leaguers
in the league.
You know, but then they said Thaddeus Young. Thaddeus Young's going to beast anybody on the Wildcats.
And you know, 28-year-old guys who have been playing basketball forever are going to beat 18-year-old kids. You know, so, I mean, I think they would probably have a very good chance, but it's so hard to predict the NCAA tournament because it's just one game. Anything can happen in one game.
It's true.
So I don't think anybody can say definitively, yes, they would win it, but they would probably be a one seed. How about that?
How I think about it, too, is any of the teams that they would play, 6 or 7/8 of that team couldn't even make the 76ers. Couldn't even play in the D League. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
you're right.
I think that that's what it is. And I don't think they have chemistry right now, but I think they would if they were just whooping college teams and had that confidence and had, like...
Well, I don't know.
You also got to think about the fact that, you know, like, we're just picked Kentucky out of those four. Like,
right.
We're not even talking Wisconsin or Florida or whoever the other team that made it was. I don't even know.
The college game is so different.
Who's the other four?
It's way different. So it's Wisconsin, Kentucky, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
But and how much bigger still are the 76ers than any of those teams?
Way bigger.
Kentucky is maybe is pretty big, but other than that.
Yeah.
Who can shoot on the 76ers team, though?
Beige?
Like you have to be able to shoot in order to win. Like, you just do,
yeah.
Which is the way that the college game is.
Hollis Thompson, is that his name?
There's a lot of guys who are, you know, really, really good in the tournament and in college basketball that could never make the NBA.
Right.
They may never make an NBA squad, but they still have an insurmountable impact on the tournament. So it's hard to say that NBA guys win because, like, where's Jabari Parker right now? And where are all these guys who were going to go high in the draft? Like,
sitting at home.
Like, I'm terrible at predicting the draft because predicting the tournament because all I think about is the NBA draft. And then I pick all these guys who are like, man, this guy's going to be awesome. He could, you know, tear up this tournament. And then
but Durant,
the first round.
Durant didn't get past Sweet 16.
Right.
You know, lost to USC his 1 year there in the Sweet
LeBron
16.
Didn't even go to the NCAA.
Yeah, didn't even
tournament.
Make it.
didn't
make the tournament with his high school team.
Hey, guys, guess what?
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 It's time for our game.
Oh,
shoot. I got a pretty good game. And I was ready for Luke. I kind of set this up for Luke to win on the last question again. So I'm kind of sad that Luke isn't winning. Okay, it's time for my game. It's called Say My Nickname, Say My Nickname. When no one is around you, say baby, I love you. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to give you a nickname of a player.
Yeah?
And you're going to tell me who that player is.
Okay.
Example, the Black Mamba.
Kobe Bryant.
Okay, I mean, Jay, you would get that point.
I'll take it.
You ready? Some of these are old. These aren't all current players.
Okay.
Number one, the Polish Hammer.
Marcin Gortat.
Got it. Keep
Why
your
did
own
I not
score.
Know that?
Keep your own score.
One.
Big Baby.
Glenn Davis.
So here's a, if he starts it, but I finish it quicker.
No, he says it for if he says it first. Okay. Time. Okay, ready?
I'm gonna finish everything slower than you.
Skip to my Lou.
Lou Williams.
No.
Lou Amundsen.
If Lou Amundsen's nickname was Skip to My Lou, that would
Rafer
be
Rafer Alston.
Rafer Alston.
Golly.
The Caveman.
Chris Kaman.
Rafe LaFrance.
No, Chris Kaman.
Rafe LaFrance.
Chocolate Thunder.
Daryl Dawkins.
Yeah. The Big Fundamental. Fundamental.
Tim Duncan.
Yeah, you got it.
Yes.
The Big Fundamental.
The Big Fundamental.
The Glove.
Gary Payton.
Dang it.
Got it. Born Ready.
Lance Stephenson.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
You're
right
smoking
there.
Me, man.
Born Ready. Big Shot Bob.
Robert Ory.
Jay. The King.
LeBron James.
Yeah. Grandmama.
Larry Johnson.
Got it. The Truth.
Paul Pierce.
The score right now, 7-5.
7.
The Admiral.
David Robinson.
Dang it.
Ooh, 7-6. Good comeback. The White Mamba.
Jason Williams.
No.
Steve Nash?
No.
No, hold on.
He's one of my favorite all-time players.
Brian Scalabrine?
Yes.
Dang it.
7-7 right now. Here it is. This one.
Is this the tiebreaker?
Yes. And this is going to make you mad. This is going to make you mad. The Dream.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
No.
Hashim the Beat.
Got it. Winner.
Yes.
That, I set that up for Luke to win because I was going to say, Luke, this one's worth 20 points. And I know he would have said Hashim the Dream before Hakeem the Dream. So I set it up for that for Luke.
Andrew's the winner. Ding, 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 ding.
Andrew's
ding,
win.
Ding,
hey,
ding,
that
ding,
was
ding,
pretty close.
Ding, 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 ding.
There are so many good nicknames, guys.
That's great. That's
There's
a fun
some
game.
Really good nicknames.
Hey.
I got plenty more.
Plenty more.
Round mound of rebound.
Oh, yeah. Oliver Miller?
No, yeah,
who
I
is it? Is it Oliver
plenty.
Miller?
Nope. Charles.
You
saw Charles Barkley.
The Legend, The Answer. Anyway, we'll save these for future games.
Big Country.
Yeah.
He did play in the NBA.
He did. He made
just
a
weird.
Ludicrous amount of money and then just bowed out. I was like, and see you later.
Now I will go to my farm.
My body's falling apart. I'll show up at...
What'd you say? My life's falling apart.
My body is falling apart.
Oh, I thought you said my life.
I mean, he was kind of like a Neanderthal. And so he showed up and like his back went out. His knees were going bad. Hey, guess what that leads me to? RSAO at Stat of the Week.
What?
Say what? My say what stat of the week is this. If you can tell me the one Oklahoma City Thunder player. Here, let's phrase it like this. If you could have told me the one Oklahoma City Thunder player at the beginning of the season that would have played in every single game so far, who would you have told me it was?
I would have said Russell West. No, I wouldn't have. I would have said Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Or Tabas Cephalosha.
If it was the start of the season?
Yeah.
I would have said, yeah, Kevin.
No. I probably said Reggie.
Serge Ibaka, maybe?
Serge.
It is Serge, isn't
it? You know who the answer is?
Serge.
Steven Adams.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Say what?
I mean, that's what.
Say what?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
You remember the debate we had at the beginning of the season? Like, is he going to get 10 minutes a game? Is he gonna
my over-under to all the media guys was
100
NBA minutes this season.
I mean, what's he at, like 1,000?
And what did almost everyone took under?
They said, no, they said right at or over, I think, was the
people
gist.
People just didn't know. Nobody
no one had any idea. No. No one had any
idea. He's been, as a starter, playing really well.
Yeah.
If he can slow his fouls down, because that Utah game, he had 8 and 8 and played like 8 minutes, it felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. I love him. I think he's going to be the starting center for this team going forward. I've said that forever. Yeah.
You and think next year?
No, because Kendrick Perkins will be here.
The year after that, though. Yeah. I bet we'll trade Kendrick Perkins' contract at some point next year.
I think they'll just play him out and let him. If he wants to be assistant or something, he can come be assistant.
If we win a championship this year, for sure they're going to play him out next year.
He's played 1,090 minutes.
Speaking of random things that I heard this week. So Derek Fisher, two things I heard about him. Number one, he says if he doesn't win a championship, he's not going to retire.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Number two, there was a rumor that he would be the front runner for the Knicks job if it came open this offseason.
The coach?
That didn't surprise me at all.
I think he would be a good coach.
Phil Jackson, the connection there, kind of
Phil
those
loves him. I read Phil Jackson's book, and I also read Shaq's book while I was on spring break. And that, you hear like kind of cross stories in both books, but they both just like gush about Derek Fisher for like a whole chapter of the book.
Well, that's
man,
cool.
Derek Fisher to New York working under Phil would be so awesome for them.
That'd be
that would be like at least a positive thing for the future for them.
All right. Anyway, what you say what Saturday of the week
I say what Saturday of the week Taylor? Is. Over this current Spurs win streak of 18 games, they have led the league in, bear with me, there's a lot, lead the league in the past 18 games. Points per game, point differential, field goal percentage, three-point field goal percentage, effective field goal percentage, defensive rebounding, blocks per game, assist percentage, assist to turnover ratio. They lead the league in all of those categories. So they're just dominating everyone offensively and defensively.
They're good, man.
They're crazy. That's crazy.
Stats.
It's crazy. Number one in the league in all of those things.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
So the Portland Trailblazers are the most clutch team in the league. The next four teams that are the most clutch in the league, Jay can see them right now. But
yeah, I've just been looking at it for like 10
don't
minutes.
Try to tell me who the next four are.
Are the Warriors one of them?
No.
Wow. This is going to be stupid, isn't it?
It's going to be so stupid.
Bobcats.
Nope.
Orlando.
No.
Come on, man.
Atlanta.
Atlanta is the fourth best.
Mavericks.
Nope.
Rockets.
Nope.
Spurs.
Nope.
Knicks.
Nope.
Nets.
No. This is a fun game.
Celtics.
Really fun.
This has been great. This is our new game.
No, this is time for my game.
Lakers.
Nope.
No.
I would have. Actually, Lakers wouldn't have surprised me. The Kings, probably.
No.
I mean, what teams are left that are worth anything?
I mean, they're all. Two of the three are playoff teams that
Miami.
You haven't mentioned. No.
Indiana.
No.
No.
Phoenix.
Nope.
Memphis.
Nope.
What? Hold on. Wait, what teams are. Clippers?
Nope.
No.
I'm trying to...
Eastern Conference playoff teams.
Eastern Conference playoff teams. So, Raptors.
Raptors are five.
Raptors. So, they're not even four?
No, oh, you're looking for...
Atlanta's four. You're looking for two and three now.
And one you will never get. And the other one you may get.
76ers.
What?
The Eastern Conference playoff team.
Hey, I'm pretty sure they're still in contention in the running.
They could be. They're only 100 games under 500.
Oh, God. I don't know. Celtics?
You said them twice.
Because I'm running out of teams.
Who's number two, Andrew?
Okay, it goes Portland Trailblazers, yeah. Washington Wizards.
I said Wizards.
You did not.
You didn't.
Really? Pelicans. They Pelicans. Maybe you did. I don't know. Atlanta Hawks, Toronto Raptors. The most clutch teams in the NBA. This means like they score the most points in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Oh, so like they're all just getting a ton of trashed buckets.
That could be it. Like,
hey, man. Stats.
Stats. They're the most clutch team. Second most clutch team. Cool. Jay?
Well, it's time for our new segment, Miffed and Peeved.
Miffed and Peeved!
Is there something this week that's gotten you miffed or peeved, Taylor?
Yeah.
This game that we just played?
Yeah. The stats, man. No, I had one I forgot. I feel like I'm sleeping right now.
Taylor had to get up super early to take his girlfriend to the hospital.
She just texted me, said they had to cut off both my legs. So I'll be breaking up with her quick.
Andrew, do you have any
quickly?
Yeah, I'm pretty miffed and peeved about people who fall for April Fool's jokes and then are like, is so-and-so engaged? Is so-and-so's pregnant? Did you hear that?
They like start rumors. Like,
people are texting my wife like all night like about her cousin being engaged. I'm like, do people not realize what today is?
I'll just be honest with you. I've never gotten into or given a crap about April Fool's Day. Like, I don't try to do that.
Maybe. It doesn't scare you. It scares me.
No, it scare me? Why would it scare me?
What do you mean?
I'm scared of getting got, and I got got.
There's not one single thing. I didn't get one single person saying anything April Fool's to me yesterday. Not one thing.
Really?
You weren't on Twitter that much.
No, I was not. Or on Facebook.
I feel like half of everyone on Twitter is just doing. And all these big companies are doing April Fool's jokes to be relevant.
Yeah.
Did you see what Chick-fil-A did yesterday?
No.
They said, you always said you could eat our sauces on their own. So now we've released sauce-flavored lollipops. And they made these lollipops. It's like Chick-fil-A sauce lollipop, barbecue lollipop, all this stuff. Obviously a joke, but everyone was like, oh my gosh.
I'd eat
one. That's crazy.
Chili's released Chili's ice cream. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
It was all over my Twitter feed for some reason. But it was like,
you have one Twitter. You have one tweet that is a Chili's.
You just follow Chili's?
I don't follow Chili's, no. But they had like queso ice cream and boneless buffalo wings.
Ice cream?
Ice cream.
I saw a buffalo wing like mass gain builder flavor or whatever, or protein shake flavor.
Oh gosh,
it was fake, obviously. Oh, okay.
Was it another one of your
April Fools?
Yes, it was an April Fools.
So please stop. It makes me so miffed whenever people believe that crap.
I'll go with you. April Fools just has me miffed and peeved altogether. And then when I try to get people, they never believe me.
Because yours are like, oh, I'm growing a leg out of my back.
Mine tried to say yesterday that I said, well, just got back from spending the night in a jail cell. I said that to a bunch of friends and no one believed me.
I'm so surprised.
So I have to be more bad.
When you're a teacher, though, everyone's on the lookout. Everyone thinks that you're going to April Fool them all day.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just kind of looking at you like.
Did you do the brown E joke yesterday?
No.
Have you heard of that?
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mel did that.
Like, yeah, and Lisa Hinkle's school did that, too.
Is she
so
a
they're
teacher?
Like, hey, kids, she works at a school. I don't know. Okay. I think she's a student teacher. But they're like, hey, kids, if you do this, I'll give you brownies. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then they'll do it. And then they'll hand out brownies.
Yeah. So maybe next year.
Terrible joke.
I'm just terribly mean every year on April 1st. And everyone thinks it's April Fool's. But I'm like, no, this isn't April Fool's.
I just hate this day.
This is the worst day ever.
I'll tell you, and I said this the other day, what makes me miffed and peeved a little bit is, speaking of NCAA tournament, is the NCAA tournament in brackets. I'm so terrible at them.
Yeah.
So terrible at them.
Me too.
Who's good at them? There's never been a perfect NCAA bracket. No. Ever.
And somebody had a chance for $1 billion this year.
$1 billion. What'd you do with $1 billion?
Spend it. Spend all of it.
Spend all of it.
I don't think you could.
Yeah,
it would be like really hard to spend $1 billion.
I'd buy a team and be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on that. I would also do that.
Yeah, I would buy the Thunder for $500 million.
Yeah, but here you go. I'll take part of it, and then I would just sit next to Clay Bennett in t-shirt and shorts.
And then you still have $500 million to spend.
If I bought the team from Clay Bennett and sat next to him, I'd just rub his head all the time.
Hey, buddy.
Like, after every bucket.
Hey, buddy.
Yay. Clay.
I'd be like Mark Cuban. I get fined every day.
Yeah, you
those
would.
Refs are a bunch of idiots.
Mark, I'm glad I like the owner that Mark Cuban is. He's annoying to a lot of people. I kind of like it.
Me too.
He's awesome.
All right, time for our pour one out.
Mine is Andrew Bynum because basketball.
This used to just be called the Andrew Bynum moment.
It really did used to. But basketballreference.com made a practice shot chart for him as like a joke. Yes. And it's hilarious. It like shows him. Like the first day at practice, it goes day by day at practice. First day, he's like, okay, he's shooting, you know, he shot 2 3-pointers today. That's bad, but he's shooting good shots. The next day, he like shoots 5 half-quarters And then the next day, he's like shooting full court. And then the next day, he's like shooting from, they show a picture outside the gym and he's his that shots made awesome. From, and shots from his house or whatever. It's really funny. So go look at that, basketballreference.com. And then go to Andrew Bynum and it's a tab. It just says practice shot chart on its own. It's really funny.
Is that a pour one out?
Yeah, it's a pour one out for Andrew Bynum because that's his reputation now. I mean, it's hilarious to the rest of us.
I like it. But Andrew.
Yeah. I'm pouring it out for the Phoenix Suns fans, the Memphis Grizzlies fans, and the Dallas Mavericks fans because this is the most stressful time of the year.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine?
So here's a question.
In the playoffs, out of the playoffs,
When the Thunder got they got the 8 seed, didn't they? Or they got the 7 seed.
No, they got 8 seed.
8 seed.
Were they in this kind of battle to get there?
No, because they were like the 5 seed in the middle of the season.
That's right.
And then they fell back. And like the last few days of the season, like they had the chance to be like the 6 seed or the 8 seed, and they fell back to the 8 seed. So it wasn't like this. It was like, you know, they were a team that was kind of free falling toward the end of the season. Kind of like Portland or somebody like that.
They won 50. They were 50-32 that year. I'm pretty sure they like just got to 50, which was pretty crazy. But that's what it is to get the 8 seed. You have to win 50 games to hit the 8 seed in the West.
Nice. I'm pouring one out. pouring one out for myself. I have historically been a Nick Young hater, and last night, I know we talked about it, alluded to it. 21 in the first half. The dude had 15 shots that he made out of 26 for 40 points last night in a loss for the Lakers.
Swaggy P, man.
And also as part of that, just because I love this guy, and if you haven't listened to the BS Report with Steve Nash, you need to go and download it and listen to it. I mean, it's a phenomenal piece. And he came back last night, played 22 minutes. He may have been back for a couple games. The first one I've seen or heard of the Lakers. Had 10 points and 10 assists in 22 minutes.
He plays basketball well.
God, when he was in his prime, man. So I'll just pour one out for Steve Nash, just for the fact that it's the end of his run, and when he was good, he was really freaking good.
Remember, and back-to-back MVP, man. How does he get 10 assists with this team in 20 minutes?
Throw it to Nick Young, it looks like.
Yeah,
because when you pass on the Lakers, they just shoot.
That's very true.
That's why.
No one else is going to pass the ball, so if you're the only one passing,
There's one pass made down the court, and that's it. That's why.
They're making that pick and pop with Kame and quite a bit, and which I was like, how is this a part of a basketball game?
Oh, my gosh. Steve Nash can make any center who can kind of shoot the ball look like
ridiculous.
A phenomenal.
It's just what Bill Simmons said. Like, how many guys in your life have you made tons of money for? Yeah.
Gortat, if it wasn't for Steve Nash, Gortat would not be
Boris
this
Diaw at some point.
Gortat is good.
He was good, but no one knew how good he was until he went to Phoenix with Steve Nash.
It's also a reminder, and I could just pour this one out too, how good Amari Stoudemire was at some point in his career.
Oh my gosh.
He was unbelievable.
He was.
It is kind of, they've been starting him now at power forward, and he's been looking kind of okay.
It's still sad,
but it's like, at least he can play.
Basketball.
Yeah, I'm going to, I cry now.
The Knicks is, the whole thing about the Knicks is just sad.
Also, so one more point. I had none, and now I've got 5 of them. My last pour one out is baseball season started this week. And so I pour one out for ESPN and my viewing enjoyment because it's just now it's a baseball highlights all the time. Yeah. I hate it.
I mean, you know how mad I get when I turn on TV and Baseball Tonight's on? I think it's SportsCenter because it looks exactly the same and it's just Baseball Tonight.
You know, I don't watch ESPN ever.
You really don't?
I just watch NBA TV. And then I'm never
I
mad.
Would if I don't have it.
I don't have
I mean,
it either.
If I did have it.
Stupid NBA TV.
Wait, I thought you had it.
I did. I got rid of it.
Why?
Because we tried to downsize our cable package so we can save a little bit of money.
So that I'm pouring one out for you now.
a time of Jay's personal finance. A new segment. how's Jay cutting money in his personal financing budget? All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for joining us on the Down to Dunk podcast. We appreciate you listening. Remember, follow us on Twitter at DDD Podcast. Look for us on iTunes, search Down to Dunk. Look for us on our website called downtodunk.com. We appreciate you listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.